Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. We now begin to focus on the fact that we are created, redeemed, and called by the Almighty God. I invite the children to please come forward. Good morning. Good to see you today. Today we're going to talk about three things. So first of all, we're going to talk about God having created us. So I brought this little baby today. So at one point, a long time ago, that's how big we were. So when we were about 3 months old, we were inside of our mothers and we were only that big. So we did a lot of growing between 3 months and 9 months. That's a little tiny baby, isn't it? How did that baby get inside of our mothers? God put it there. The Bible says that God knit us together. He made us right inside of our mothers. So God created us. God the Father created us. But the problem is, though, that all of us have done things that are wrong. We have all sinned. So now we need the work of God the Son. So we think right here about what God the Son did for us. So he came down from heaven, put on human flesh, he became also a man, and then when he was on the cross, all the bad stuff we did, God placed all of it on Jesus. So all the bad stuff I did and you did, that went on Jesus, and then he was punished for the stuff that we did. That doesn't sound very fair, does it? But that shows how much God loves us. So he took our punishment, and then he laid down his life. So that is how he redeemed us. So what does that mean? That's how he bought us. Like if you go to the store, and let's say you have a quarter, and you want to buy a piece of candy, well, you can give the quarter, and they'll give you the piece of candy. Well, what God did is God sent his Son, and he lived, he died, and that's how he bought us so we could be in the family of God and we could be with God forever. But still, though, even though God created us and even though Jesus redeemed us, how do we get connected to Jesus and what he did for us? Well, I have one final thing I brought. Does anyone remember what we talked about last week? There's a little bit of a hint with what's in here. We talked about baptism. So, do you know what's in there? What is that? I want to make sure that you guys know this is water, okay? Do you know how I'm going to show you? Is it water? Okay, it is water. Okay, very good. You want another squirt or is that enough? You want another one, Reagan? Should I give your dad one? Oh, there, your dad got one too. Okay. So God wants us to know that he made us, he redeemed us, and then through baptism, he connected us right to Jesus and all he did to take away our sins. Who wants a treat? At this time, we go right into our Old Testament reading. We're in Genesis chapter 1, picking up in verse 26. And first of all, in that verse, in verse 26, we see that God decided what to do. Notice how there's a conversation here within the Holy Trinity. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So after God decided what he would do, then he did it. Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." So after God made them, then we see that God blessed them, and then God gave them some instructions. Notice what it says in verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The word of the Lord. Now that God has freely given us physical life, eternal life, and all that we need, the response should be that we are filled with much gratitude. So what do we do with all that gratitude? Now we live to show love for our great God and also to show love for other people according to their needs. Let's continue now with the first part of our hymn of the day. So we find ourselves in Acts 17, picking up in verse 22, and here we're focusing on God having redeemed us. Notice as I begin the reading that Paul began to speak to the people where the people were. It's this idea, you have to know your audience a little bit. You have to know a little bit about them. You have to know where they're at so you can begin where they're at and then try to move them to the place you want them to be. Verse 22, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." So God wants us to keep that in mind, too, when we're trying to communicate, especially something important from the Word of God, to someone. We need to talk to them, ask them some questions, let them tell us where they are, so that way we can begin there and try to move them in a good direction. And then in this next part, verses 24 and 25, we see that the true God is an awesome God. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." So the life that we have, God has given, all the things that we think we possess, we do possess them, but really we're more managers of them, we're stewards of them, because we came into the world with nothing, and we will depart from the world with nothing. So God wants us to see that life itself is a gift from him, all the stuff we have under our control, that's also a gift from him. So of course, when we bring in this reality of ending the lives of many before they really even get much of a start, these are all gifts from God that are being thrown away, if you will. What a sad thing. And then going further here, looking at verses 26 through 28, we see that the true God longs for a relationship with us. He so desperately wants to be in that relationship with us. Notice what it says. "And he," that is God, "made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." He made us, So let us think about him. He is in control. Whether we think he is or not, truly he is. So let us marvel at the great and awesome God that we have. And then, in nature, in his holy word, and especially in his Son, he has left us a trail which leads us to him. So let us not ignore him. So you might have noticed why we have paper on the floor today. So if you happen to be coming this direction, we have a paper trail leading up to the altar. Or if you happen to come up that aisle, there's another paper trail leading up that way. Or if you happen to be coming from that direction, we have another paper trail. God is leaving all these kinds of things in the world that are leading to him. But is it possible, though, to be on the trail, if you will? Oh, there's the trail right there, but I'm going to choose to go this way instead. Aren't many people in life doing that? They see the trail, they know it's the best thing, but they decide to take a detour instead. These are never good things. God wants us to know that a relationship with him is going to be the most wonderful thing. How many people, though, think about it like this? People maybe get this idea and say, oh, yes, I know a relationship with God is important, but not now. I'll think about that a little bit later. So the problem is that oftentimes later never comes, because right now it's like there's this excuse, a little bit further down the road, there's another excuse, and that just keeps happening over and over and over again. God is saying, don't be so foolish. God is saying, I love you now. I want to be in a relationship now. This is going to be the very best thing for you now and forever. So why put it off? God is drawing us. God's inviting us. God wants us to be close to him. Also, too, as the Bible said there, in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, without God, we do not live. Without God, we cannot move. Without God, we don't even exist. So because all those things are true, because of God, shouldn't that make us want to know more about this awesome God and to draw closer in our relationship with him? I pray that it does. Going on to verses 29 to 31, for anyone who might be doing it, now is the time to stop ignoring the true God, to know that all excuses are illegitimate excuses. The Bible says, being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord. So we have all done things out of ignorance. Ignorance can be a strong word, but ignorance is simply talking about doing something without the proper knowledge, without the full knowledge. In other words, we thought it was a good thing, but if we would have known this other information, then we wouldn't have done it, because then we would have known it was a bad thing. So we've all done things out of ignorance, but now, since a day has been fixed when the risen Jesus will return to judge every person, let us repent. I mean, think about it. The one in whom we live and move and have our being, one day he's going to send his Son. He's going to be back here again, and we're going to have to give an account to him regarding our relationship with him. So the ones who have a relationship with him, those are people who are repentant, thus aware of their sins, sorry for their sins, by grace, looking to Jesus Christ as their Savior. The ones who are not repentant, they will have a very sad situation on that day, and that will begin a very, very sad eternity. We can't even begin to comprehend eternity. Talk about having a bad day. We're talking about having a bad forever. It's going to be a very sad thing. God doesn't want that for anyone. Because the day has been set already, and because God doesn't want us to trust in anything other than Him, notice the list I have here. Let us stop being confident of heaven because we are good people, because we go to church, because we give 10% of all we receive, because we serve according to our abilities, because we are good neighbors, because we support Christian ministries, because we know people who are Christians, because very faithfully we are reading portals or meditations, because we are confirmed Lutherans, because we are citizens of the United States of America, or because we donate to the needy, or because of 1,000 other reasons, God is calling us to repent. He's calling us to turn away all such things for our salvation. Now, He is calling us to be all those ways and to do all those things, but never, ever for our salvation. That becomes the key. May God help us to always be sorry for our sins and to always trust alone in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's go on to part two of our hymn of the day. If you're able, would you please arise? The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. First of all, we see God's love for us. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How much did He love us? Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Notice here our close relationship with Jesus. He said to His followers, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And then notice here how we have been chosen or called. So it's not that we took the first step toward God. God is the one who took action toward us. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. May God help us to remember that He's always the first one to show love for us. What are some of the ways in which He has done that? He did so by creating us. He does so every day by providing all that we need. He did so by sending His Son to be our Savior. He did so by calling us to be His very own through baptism. And He does so by working through His Word to grow us up in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then, in response, how do we respond to all those wonderful things that God has done for us? The way we respond is by loving Him. How do we do that? Jesus just told us in the Gospel reading, by doing whatever He commands. And how else do we do it? By loving others. What does that mean? That means to take action according to their needs. We have God's Word, which tells us of His love for us and how we are to show love for Him. We live in a world also of needy people who need us to love them in Jesus' name. As we stand here today on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, these are some of the ways that we can show love for other people in our world. Let's let them know that God makes every human life. Let's let them know that life begins at conception. Let's let them know that every life is in need of Jesus. And then God wants us to know that every one of us need spiritual nourishment. Also, too, I believe God wants us to not only say certain things, in other words, help people learn certain things that are important and true, but I think God wants us to take certain action. So I have a little list here of that. First of all, we should vote for pro-life candidates. How do we know which is which? Well, we have to do our homework. Now, some people would say, voting for a pro-life candidate, that's not really such an important thing. I want to make sure I'm lined up on the other issues. See, we have the terminology all mixed up in America, don't we? Because people who are opposed to life, they have set the terminology. So they call us anti-abortion. That sounds like a negative term, doesn't it? But rather, we are pro-life. They say they are pro-choice. That sounds good. But really, they are pro-death. Think about this. If you knew there was a candidate running for office, and you knew with certainty that that candidate was a mass murderer, would you be voting for that person? Well, think about it. Nearly 60 million children have been murdered in their mother's wombs since 1973. We want to say that everything is okay, and it's not. May God help us to have our eyes opened up and to stop proceeding in ways that are against the Almighty God. Also, too, it's a good idea to support a local pregnancy center. Sometimes things happen where a young lady can find herself pregnant and she didn't plan that out, and now it's a very difficult thing. We're not going to condemn her because she's pregnant, but now we want to try to give her some help and help her to be able to carry that baby to term and then to be a mom to that baby or to offer that baby up for adoption. So that's what they do, for example, at the Cleveland Pregnancy Center. So they're close by to us here, and they're a good one to support. I would encourage you to oppose Planned Parenthood. You know, it sounds so good, Planned Parenthood, but I'm going to share just one statistic with you just so you understand about Planned Parenthood a little bit better. So back in 2014, records show that they performed 327,653 abortions, and in that same period of time, they made 1,880 adoption referrals. So if you do the math, that means they were about killing children 174 times more than they were about adopting those children. So we have to be honest with the numbers and realize that their business is putting children to death. It's amazing that God continues to bless us as he does with what we have going on in our nation. But it's not just us, though. There are many, many other nations around the world that are doing the same as us, and even more so, even more so. So it's just a horrible world in which we live. But what does the Bible say, though? There in Genesis chapter 6, we saw that just before the flood came, people were doing evil all the time. We're not there yet. There still are some people in the world, kind of like Lot and his family in Sodom and Gomorrah. There wasn't enough for God to spare the cities, but there were still some godly people there. So we have that today, too, in the United States of America, in other countries, too. So we're not quite there yet, but I would say we're moving very rapidly in that direction of people doing nothing but evil all the time. And what did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 24 that the way things were just before the flood came, we're going to have a parallel situation just before I come. So as things become more and more evil, we should recognize that we are very possibly, very probably coming to the return of Jesus Christ. So these are all reasons for us to draw close to God in that relationship with him. These are reasons to speak the truth in love to other people. These are reasons to help people know who have somehow been caught up in an abortion. If there's a boyfriend and he agreed to the abortion and now he's sorrowful about that, he should know there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. If there's a woman who has allowed her baby to be aborted, is that a sad thing? It is. Did Jesus die for that sin? He did. God wants us to know that we cannot out-sin his forgiveness. Even for the abortion doctor who has taken the lives of 1,000 children, is there forgiveness for him? There is. That's how amazing God is. Because all 1,000 of the babies he murdered, when Jesus was on the cross, all those murders, they were put on him, and he was punished for all of those. So that means in Jesus Christ, forgiveness is available. That's how good God is. That's how much God loves us. May God help us to see these wonderful things to be true. God has created every person. God has redeemed every person through Jesus. God is calling every person through baptism and through his word to be in a wonderful relationship with him, to continue in a wonderful relationship with him. May God help us to rejoice that we have been created, redeemed, and called. And then may God help us to go forth to love him and to love others the very best that we can. And all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.